Father, it's a great joy to just express the reality, the truth that your Son Jesus Christ reigns forevermore. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can also just hear you calling and speaking to us in your Son, an incredible love for us and his desire for all of us to be so one with him in advancing the kingdom and just being involved in sharing the incredible good news of yours and touching so many lives. What a privilege to be part of something that's got so much meaning and purpose that has eternal value. And we want to thank you that we can participate with your Son by the anointing and the power of Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. So this morning, thank you, Father, as you teach us in your Son just how to become more established in this incredible faith that you have given to us so that we can really live a life that truly brings you honor and glory. And this we receive this morning in the anointing of the Holy Spirit in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Just for, again, just to introduce, the songs that we were singing this morning was very much focused on spiritual warfare because we are learning now how to be established in the faith that God has been speaking to us about. How do we live in the reality of having faith in God? How do we have the faith of God? How do we live a life despite what's happening? How do we get established in that? And that's why we are going to spend today just discussing and just sharing some scriptures on how Jesus taught us how to remain steadfast, how to remain in this incredible faith and his incredible grace enabling us by the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why this is so crucial, because the last thing the devil wants, as I shared in the introduction early on, the last thing the devil wants is for you and I, as children of God, to walk in this God faith. That's the last thing he wants to take place. He wants to be in control. He does not want you and I to be in agreement with Jesus Christ and to live the life of agreement. That's what faith is. It's living the life of being in agreement with Jesus Christ. And so remember, faith, divine persuasion. So whoever speaks to us and whoever we believe and have trust and confidence, we will live that life out. So if the media is persuading us, we will live according to the media. If our friends are persuading us, we will live according to our friends. That's our lifestyle. So we all live by faith, whoever's persuading us. And the enemy is master of deception and how he tries to persuade us to believe a lie and take on things that is not of God. So God wants to help remove stuff that we've taken on that is not in agreement with him. How do we get established in that? And this is why it's so crucial for us just to learn a little bit again this morning on that kind of lifestyle. So as I've shared over the past two Sundays, we've been looking at the example of Jesus and how Jesus modeled a life of faith. We saw there that he lived a life that was fully persuaded. He was in total agreement with his Father. And whatever he did, it was because his Father was in him, working through him, and he had total confidence that despite not seeing multiplication, despite just hearing, that there's only so many loaves and fishes over there, it didn't persuade him because he knew what his Father wanted to do, and he just, let's multiply. Total confidence. He didn't doubt that that's going to take place. And that, so he modeled faith. He modeled hearing. He modeled divine persuasion. He modeled for us an example of how to live as a human being on this earth, as a child of God, how to live in this God faith, God persuasion. And that's what we looked at. And then we saw there too how Jesus, when he recognized faith in others, he knew that faith comes from hearing. He knew that he saw faith in somebody that the Father has spoken and this person is totally persuaded that what the Father has said is absolute truth. And Jesus taught us there the incredible reality of the agreement of two or three taking place. And so Jesus, he is walking in faith. That person he recognized, and now there's that power of agreement. And that's what we saw there in Matthew 18 when Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And remember, again, this is a discipline that our Heavenly Father has spoken to us in His Son Jesus. So as we're reading the teachings of Jesus, start to hear the Father speaking to us. That's why in the Great Commission, Jesus says, go and teach Him everything that I have spoken, if I've commanded you, because that's my Father speaking in through me. And so the whole New Testament is the disciples, because remember, they didn't understand too much yet, but when Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. So the whole New Testament now is the writers over there that is now unlocking the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke about the end times. Every single parable that's basically is about the beginning and the end. We don't realize that. And so Jesus has often spoken about the reality. And so Revelation, again, is a reality of what Jesus taught. And that, so there's a lot there that we need to take note of when we read through the teachings of Jesus, recognize our Heavenly Father. So here our Father is speaking to us about something that is so profound that He has given to us the power of agreement in His name, in the name of His Son Jesus. Not in our name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And so He then goes on and He says over there, tell you the truth. Well, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. And this is something that just promotes spiritual warfare. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, here we see Adam and Eve in total agreement with the mandate God had given them. Be fruitful, multiply, take care, etc. And they were totally persuaded. They were so in agreement with God. They just carried on doing what God had commanded them to do. No division between. Everything was in perfect harmony. The devil does not want, because the devil is anti-God. He's anti-Christ. The devil does not want the reality of this powerful agreement. The last thing he wants is for mankind to live in agreement with God. Because imagine mankind all living in the reality of intimacy and ruling and reigning, etc. So that's the last thing. So what does he do? He comes and he now deceives to break the agreement that Adam and Eve were walking in with God. And that's been his tool, his strategy all along, is to break the agreement that God has with man and man has with God. And that's why the cross, the reconciliation, that's why the obedience of Jesus brings, restores once again that you and I in Him is able to walk in agreement with God. And that's what we've been looking at. So be aware that there's tremendous warfare taking place. In John chapter 15, let's just see some of the fruits of being in agreement with Jesus and with the Father. In John 15 verse 7, we read over here, very profound truth. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So here we see an amazing sense of agreement of being abiding in Jesus, being in intimacy with Jesus, yielded to Him, taking His word. We've accepted His truth. We are obedient to Him, and we're living in agreement with our Lord Jesus Christ. What takes place in this powerful agreement of being in agreement with God, with Jesus Christ? He says over here in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we know that when you and I are walking in agreement with God, the Father will be glorified. The devil does not want God to be glorified. Not at all. He wants, the devil wants man to glory and worship him. Doesn't want any other party, anybody to worship God, the Heavenly Father. But also we see here that this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. The last thing the devil wants is for you and I to be very fruitful in the things of God. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Multiply, be fruitful. Let me break that unity. It's the same. Hasn't stopped. The last thing he wants is for you and I to bear fruit. Because what does the fruit show? Look what the fruit does. The fruit shows that we are the disciples of Jesus. That's what the fruit shows. It's the evidence that the Father has sent his Son Jesus. It's the evidence that God is real. We are the evidence of that Jesus is very real. The last thing the enemy wants for us to walk in this incredible agreement with God. So he will do whatever he can to break that sense of agreement. And that's where the lies and the deceptions come, to try and get our minds confused and mixed up, and we walk in fear, we walk in anxiety, we walk in all this junk in order so that when the world can see, they will not see we are disciples of Jesus, but we are disciples of who's ever persuading us. Not Jesus. It's the media, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's all those other things, and we are showing that we are disciples. So we get to the place where we ask the very important question is, can the people around us recognize that we are the disciples of Jesus? Because that's the fruit that we're talking about. That's the fruit that needs to be evident, that people can know that we are truly disciples of Jesus, wherever we are. That's pretty awesome. And that's why the enemy will be against this. Not only that, but let's carry on. In John 17, and we see the here where Jesus is praying for the disciples, and he says, my prayer is, in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Yeah, again, we get to the oneness, that agreement, that unity. All of you may be in one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. What did Jesus say in John 14? That look at the evidence of the fruit. It shows you that my Father is in me, my Father doing the work. Same reality of the agreement. May they be one in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The last thing the devil wants for you and I to be in agreement with God, because he does not want the world to know that God has sent his Son Jesus Christ. That's powerful testimony. When people can see and know that they can know that God has sent his Son Jesus Christ. As they look at our lives, as they evaluate us and they interact with you and I. Powerful witness. And can you see why the Holy Spirit is working in our nation, dealing with the body of Christ, sorting out all the junk that we're carrying and all the twisted so-called persuasion beliefs that you and I believe, dealing with that by the Spirit of Truth, so that the unsaved people will be able to recognize, but God, you have sent your Son Jesus Christ. Because they can see the evidence in our lives, that fruit. And he carries on. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Gaining this oneness, this agreement. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Isn't that something? That as we walk in this intimacy, oneness and agreement with God, and we are keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, that the world may know something about the love of God. And that you and I can know and live in the reality of what it is to be loved by God. So it's a revelation of this incredible love of God in the sense of this oneness, this agreement, this God faith that he's called us into. So now you can begin to understand why the enemy will do whatever he can to prevent you and I to living a life in agreement with God. Now you can understand why there's so much information being bombarded into us to try and persuade us otherwise. It's part of the scheme of the enemy. And this is why the Holy Spirit is emphasizing now as a discipline in order to get established, read the Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read what Jesus is saying so that we can hear the Father speak and now begin to recognize the voice of the Father, begin to recognize the way the Father communicates and how He deals with you and I, so that we can have a discernment now, that as we listen to all the information, we are able to discern, no, I don't hear my Father speaking in His Son Jesus Christ. I hear anxiety, I hear fear, I hear panic, I hear uncertainty. That's not the Father, because the Father says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So how can we believe all that junk when the Father has spoken in His Son, Jesus Christ? See, this is the discernment that we need to be growing in now and being established in, and not being so running around and listening to all this junk that comes into our mind, etc. See, it's a growth time to be established in truth. Can't just hear, now we must be established so that it bears fruit, so that the world will know that the Father has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're in this place now where, as you'll see when we go through John, a lot of pruning is taking place. But it's necessary for you and I in this area to grow and be strengthened in God. So we have an amazing battle on hand. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it's also in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, but he says to Timothy, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. So he has a decision that Timothy needs to make. He's speaking about the unsaved and the darkness and the practices that they live in. But he says, but you, man of God, you child of God, you the disciple of Jesus Christ, that's not for you. You pursue. You flee. That's pretty interesting. That word flee is not just shaking hands and saying, well, let's remain buddies. No, 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 no. It's turning your back and fleeing from that practice that was darkness. It's a decision. It's a total cutaway. Flee. And when you flee, you run far and fast. Okay. You don't sort of take it with you. You can't do that. You're going to trip up. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue. So he has a decision. He has a mindset. He has something about when Paul writes in Romans 8 that we who are in Christ, we who are walking with the Spirit, have our minds set on things above because we are keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. So now there's an insight over here. How do we pursue righteousness? How do we pursue these things of God? Why did Jesus give us the Holy Spirit? To help us. And as we walk with the Holy Spirit enables us to have the desires and we're able to have our minds set on things above and not on things below. So if we're battling, then we know we're not keeping step with the Holy Spirit. We've stepped out of that realm of grace and we now are so caught up with all this junk and it's weighing us down. See, that's a symptom, that's a sign, that's God telling us something about where we are in the spiritual realm so that we can take note and repent from it and now come and ask, Lord Jesus, please, by your Spirit, I want to walk in this truth. How do we get established in this? So then he says over here, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then he goes on, he says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses in the sight of God who gives life in everything and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you, keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about in his own time. And he says, God,
the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. So we notice here that Paul says, fight the good fight. It's not the bad fight. This faith is not a bad fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Can you see the challenge and why he's calling us? Because he knows how the enemy will try and take us to live a life that reflects the rest of the world. But Jesus had said, as the Father has sent me, I sent you into this world. Jesus had said, Father, as I set myself apart, so that they too may be set apart, so that as they go into this world, they are able to be a light, they're able to be a witness. They're able to live in unity and agreement with me, so that the world may know that you have sent me and that you love them. And so we have something about this good fight that you and I are in. It's a good fight, and the context we're speaking about here is eternal life. It's something about this good fight so that when the temptation comes, we don't give in. We fight the good fight of faith. It's something about you and I not compromising because we are fighting this good fight of faith. We're having our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer of our faith, the perfecter of our faith, who inspires us, who by His Spirit is enabling us to be able to live in the reality of being in His faith, not in our faith. Because our faith is like Hebrews 11. All those people were living in the faith, believing God, all committed adultery, there was murder, there was drunkenness, you name it, and they're all regarded as men and women of faith. That's your and our reality. But Jesus comes and says, no, I'll show you the perfect faith in me. As he comes in a man, and he now lives this perfect life, total oneness with the Father, so that you and I now can now enter into that Hebrews 11 could not enter into. You and I can enter into that perfect faith of Jesus because we are in him, have faith in him. Our faith is in his reality of his perfection, of his faith. That's where we live. And everything, the enemy wants us not to believe that. The enemy will try and get us out and let's go back into whatever persuasion and that. No, he is the pioneer. He's the originator of this faith that you and I have received as a gift because we are in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. I'm not going to work to try and get this faith. We have received it. And this is why religion will try and prevent us from believing that. Because I've got to do something to have a faith in God. We're in Christ. If we're in Christ, we have His righteousness. We're clothed in right. We in Christ, we have His love. In Christ, we have His faith. In Christ, we have, because we're in Him. That's why we participate in His divine nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, 4. Because we are in Him. And now we are able by the Holy Spirit to participate, to be able to experience everything about Jesus Christ. So Paul writes, blessed are you because in Christ you have been enriched with every spiritual blessing. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, then praise be to God because he has given you everything to be able to live a godly life because we are in him, participating in his divine nature. And that's the reality of faith. But the enemy will try and let us doubt that and get messed up by listening to all the junk and not renewing our mind and believing and getting into agreement with what the Holy Spirit shares about having faith in Jesus Christ. No one can help you and I get in agreement. It's a choice that you and I make. There's a grace in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us, but we've got to make that choice to get in agreement with God. We've got to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No one else can do it. No one else can do it. It's my own will. It's my own decision that I've got to make to take my thoughts captive and make it obedient to the truth, what Jesus has said. I've got to do it. And then the peace of God rules our mind and our hearts. Not before that. You see? And so, How do we get established? We've got to start to put this into practice. We've got to now begin to take hold of this and now begin to apply this. Practice this now. That's how we start to get established in that. So every time these negative thoughts come into our mind, we've got to say, no, I've got to take that obedient, take that captive, and make it obedient to you, Jesus. That's a discipline. That's what is so often lacking in our lives. It's too easy to ignore a truth and carry on believing the deception. It's our choice. Hey? It's our choice. So today, may the Spirit of God just help us to realize we have a responsibility to work out our salvation and to not be, pathetic Nancy. Let me be careful with the words I choose. But forceful men and women advance the kingdom of God. See? It's powerful. Those who arrive with Jesus Christ. Who are not going to be persuaded by the lies and deception, but to believe and take thoughts captive. That's not of God. Because I know I spend time spending and reading Jesus and hearing my Father. I've learned to recognize my Father. See, I've disciplined myself. I've renewed my mind. I've taken hold of a truth. No one else can do it except you and I. It's a personal decision that we must make in these areas. We are going into a season now where we need to know how to do warfare. And I'm teaching you how to do warfare and how to stand strong in Christ Jesus. How to have a mind of Christ, how to have a strong mind in Him, not our own mind, how to begin to recognize, how to have the helmet of salvation, the incredible mind of God in these situations. I don't think you came to a nice, cozy Sunday morning, eh? But, because I know what it's about to take place, and I'm sharing this is necessary, otherwise we're going to be messed up. We're going to be running for counseling. We're going to be so confused. We're going to be giving up because we don't know how to stand, how to be established in Christ Jesus. And I'm teaching you because I love you. God loves us, and we need to know how to be strong in the Lord in His mighty power. Jude 1 verse 7, again, it's the same thing about running the good race. In Ephesians chapter 6 is an amazing truth that we read about this incredible armor of God. Let us quickly just touch that. Paul writes in verse 10, Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And this is a profound truth because He's telling us what it is to be in Christ Jesus over here. He's telling us the foundation of the armor of God. He's sharing with you and I what it is to be able to stand against all the schemes of the enemy that does not want you and I to walk in agreement with God. So He's telling us something, finally be strong in the Lord. Remember the word in. It's in the realm, being in Christ Jesus, it's in the realm of His very life. So He's telling us here, in our union with Him, because of being born again in this incredible miracle of this union in Christ Jesus, now, because we are in Him, we are able to receive His strength and be strengthened by His strength. Our human strength cannot stand against the onslaught of the enemy. Adam and Eve, without any sin, fell. Jesus is the only one that was able to stand against the enemy when He was tempted. And that's why He's able to help us and minister to you and I. So here we have something profound in the victory of Jesus. He's saying now, because we're in union with Him, begin to receive by faith, begin to appropriate, begin to put on, appropriate the incredible strength of God flooding into our very being. That will empower us, it will enable us to be able to stand. So he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's the whole reality. We want his mighty power, his dominion, his authority to be flowing into our lives when we are battling when it comes to these things. And this is part of being in agreement with Jesus Christ. This is part of being in agreement. Because you and I, we face these things and we can now feel sorry for ourselves, or we can stop and take every emotion, every thought captive, and we can come and say, Lord, you said here that now, Father, you spoke to me about being strong in your Son, and I'll just receive your strength now. Just that receiving, just that appropriation taking place, you experience a power of the Holy Spirit. You experience within you a strength that floods in within you, and you find you're able to carry forth. But if we don't renew our mind and take truth like this, we will battle, we will battle, we will battle. Why is it so hard for people, for believers to forgive somebody? Because they fail to take the truth. They're trying in their own ability, they're trying to rationalize all this stuff, and they just battle and live in that trap of unforgiveness. But the moment you renew your mind and, oh Lord, you in me, you are the Christ who forgave all things. You live in me. And the moment I just yield and accept that, Lord, you are in me and you have forgiven all our sins, straight away you find the power of God enabling you and I to forgive. Very simple in these things, because we've died to self. Very, very simple. But we struggle because we don't appropriate the truths that God has been speaking to us about. So he says that we have put on the full armor of God. It's fascinating that he says put on the full armor of God. What's the armor of God? What is the armor of God? That's a good question. If we don't see the truth of being in Christ Jesus, we will battle in appropriating what the armor of God is. Because there are some other places, Paul writes, clothe yourself with Christ Jesus. So the armor of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we are in him. And we've got to renew our mind, we've got to appropriate the things that God is saying. So when he says over here, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Appropriate it. Apply it. Take hold of it. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to make your stand and stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth. Who is truth? See, it's Jesus. When the enemy comes, what does Jesus say about the situation? What's his truth? Faith. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And he goes through with all that the righteousness we know. Christ is our righteousness. We are clothed in him. And with your feet fitted with the readiness. That's an interesting word, because here Paul writes, uses a word that says, having been prepared is the tense. Paul is saying, in battle, don't suddenly try and put your armor on. He's saying, no, you have your armor on before the battle. You clothed yourself in Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. Live in the reality of being in Christ before the enemy comes. It's too late when the enemy is starting to come, and now you're wanting to put on the armor of God. You don't know how to use it. You haven't practiced. You haven't been trained. Let's get trained. Plant, get established in the truth, so that as the enemy comes, you're able to stand, because you've practiced, you know how to use truth, you know how to use righteousness, you know how to use preparation, you know how to use faith, you know how to use the Word of God, because we've been prepared, we've practiced. And he carries on, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints, and therefore pray for me, and so forth. So we see here that there's so much truth that you and I are now going to discover and know what it is to be in Christ Jesus, know what it is to live in His righteousness. So when the accuser of the brethren comes and says, how can you do this? Because look at what you've done. You're not going to be persuaded by the accuser, but now you're going to, but Lord, you clothe me with your righteousness. I have your righteousness as a gift. See, you're using truth. So when the enemy comes, as he came with Jesus, what did Jesus say? It is written. He didn't have a debate about what is this and what is that. It is written. Because he knew how to use the sword, the authority God has spoken. God has said, that's it. And he spoke to the enemy and dealt with it. The sword of the Spirit. But the sword of the Spirit is in agreement with what God has said. It's not in agreement with the situation. You're using the agreement to deal with the situation. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Huge. Huge mindset, huge way of thinking and changing the way we think. We're riding with Him. So there's a lot that we can learn. Let me give you an example. In John 15, verse 9, if I recall, Jesus says to the disciples, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. How did the Father love His Son Jesus? Now Jesus is now there at the Garden of Gethsemane and He's going, not my will but your be will. He's now being crucified and He says, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And many of us will say God doesn't love His Son Jesus Christ. Many of us going through a difficult time will say, God doesn't love me. Why have you forsaken me? Because we don't understand the love of God. Let's look at something here. Here we see, before the very foundation of the world, Christ was slain. So before mankind was even brought onto the planet Earth, the provision, because they knew what was going to take place. And this incredible love that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit has for all of us. In coming up, my Son is going to be crucified, established. So when Adam and Eve sinned, and God came and spoke to Eve about a child that's going to be come and you're going to crush his head, it's because it's already been established. It's not, oh, now I've my sort of plan. He's speaking. It's been done. And I'm pronouncing what has been done in heaven will be done on earth. Agreement. And he pronounces that and history comes. So all of history from that moment of the fall right up until the cross of Jesus Christ, every aspect is the unfolding before the foundation of the world. Christ was slain. Being in when the time had fully come, God sent his Son Jesus Christ. From that very moment of Christ's incredible death and resurrection right until the end of ends, all of that is the fulfillment of the total fulfillment, the total victory of before the foundation. So to understand history today and understand our future, we've got to realize that this is all unfolding from what has already been established in heaven. So now we have Jesus. And he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? God, you don't love him.
But Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you.
So if the Father's going to forsake Jesus, is he going to forsake me? Oh!
But Jesus said, because what has been written, we planned this together long, and it's because of our love.
Imagine if the Father, just imagine if the Father had to intervene in Jesus' life and come and deal with Jesus at that very moment. How devastated Christ would be.
Jesus said, Father, sacrifices and animals and all that there you do not desire, doesn't do anything, but a body you prepared for me. Because I've come to save, I've come to bring about redemption. I have a deep love for humanity. Now, here Jesus is coming to the cross to bring about the fulfillment of this deep, deep love for humanity. And the Father says, oh, shame. I feel sorry for you, my son. Let me come and just take this pain away from you. Imagine you and I wouldn't be born again today. You see, and we don't understand. Because the Father loves His Son. The Father loves the desire of His Son. The Father loves the love that His Son has for humanity. And the Father had to deal so that that separation because of sin, taking upon our sin, had to take place. And we want to now be nice and help and just go and just stop this pain from Jesus. No, that's the Father's love. So many times you will find when we come and we say, yes, Lord, we come in agreement with God for what He has purposed for you and I, for this fruitfulness to take place. Many, many times we will feel that God has forsaken us, but it's not. It's because He loves us and He's dealing with stuff that is necessary in order to bring about everything that the Father has purposed for our lives. All things work for the good for those who love Him. You see, the truth. Now in the warfare, the enemy comes and says, God doesn't love you. But truth says all things. Truth says, as the Father has loved Jesus, Jesus loves me. Can you see the victory? Can you see the breakthrough? Because we're living from the place of His victory. I'm not trying to find and battle and try and get victory. Being established in faith. This is all the fruit, this is all the life of being in Him and living in His incredible perfected faith. His total agreement with the Father that you and I, by the Holy Spirit, the glory that the Father hath given His Son, that they may be one. I have given them that glory, that they too may be one. You and me, I and them. So that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me. Oneness. Let's be equipped in that. Let's be established. Amen. Yeah. Father, we want to thank you again that as you share with us, you're helping us. Lord, this is for me a big thing that you're sharing because of the fruitfulness that we're about to enter in. The fruitfulness that is, displays who you are. It brings you glory. And so we know that you need to prune us. You need to deal with this stuff. And so we invite you and we welcome that to take place. And we honor you for that. Father, what a joy that in the midst where sometimes we may feel, my God, why haven't you forsaken me? Our very action, as Jesus' very actions, was a demonstration of His incredible love for you and for mankind. And we do the same as we go through situations. Lord, it's an expression as we keep on fighting this good fight of faith. It's an expression of our deep love for you, Father. How we truly love you and want to just live our lives to bring you honor and glory. And our heart goes out in that agreement with Jesus. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for your power. Thank you for appropriating and allowing the very power of Jesus Christ, allowing your power, this participation in this divine nature of God, to become our reality so that we can continue, we can run the race, we can complete that which has been set before us. And we want to thank you for that. So help us now, Holy Spirit, to recognize the Father speaking and His Son Jesus Christ as you take from Jesus and make it known to us. Help us to remember the things that is necessary for us to remember in the time of crisis, in the time of just the battle of the mind, when unbelief starts to rise up and we're battling to stay and to cling on to the reality of this faith in you and to believe in you. Holy Spirit, thank you as you empower and you help us. Help us to understand how just to appropriate Jesus, what it is to be clothed in you, what it is to be in you. Help us today in this coming weeks to be able to know how to keep this, or how to live in the reality of truth, how to live in the reality of righteousness, how to live in the reality of being prepared, how to live in the reality of your good news, how to live in the reality of this faith, and in how to live this word abiding in us, and how to pray. And this today we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.